Good morning, and welcome to Stony Creek Church, and happy Father's Day to you all, even to you fathers, especially to you fathers. And whether you're here in the room, in the building here today, we welcome you. If you're online watching on Facebook or YouTube, whether you're masked or unmasked, we're so glad that you could be a part of our service here this morning. Well, I'd like to begin with a story that comes to us from Spain about a father and a son. These two had become alienated from one another due to a big falling out that they had. The son, he ran away from home, leaving no clue as to his whereabouts, and the father's heart yearned for his estranged son. And so he set off to find him. But after months of searching, no success. Finally, in a last-ditch effort to find his son, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. And this is what the ad said. "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you. Your father." Did Paco show up that Saturday in front of the newspaper office? Well, would you believe that 800 men named Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers? That ad struck a chord. There were many estranged Pacos in Madrid. And I think in our culture, there are boatloads of Pacos and Paquitas that are estranged from their fathers. Many homes are fatherless. Many kids don't even know their fathers. And many sons and daughters are not in harmony with their fathers, whether they're living under the same roof or not. This was the case between me and my father when I was growing up. My dad and I were not particularly close. He was a good father, don't get me wrong. He had many excellent qualities. He was a man of principle. He was a faithful husband. He was a good provider, well-educated, well-liked. He was generous, hospitable, and he was good. He was good to us kids. And yet, as a young boy, I frequently, for no good reason, found myself resenting him. Though he was not heavy-handed, I disliked his authority over me. I often felt judged and inferior to him in his presence. Neither of us was a Jesus follower at the time. Today's message is called The Forgotten Father. Whether or not you're on the same page with your father, or if you're a dad on the same page with your kids, I'd like to explore the remedy for the situation that I have described. There's a passage in the Bible that speaks of a time when fathers would be reunited with their sons and daughters, and sons and daughters reunited with their fathers. It's found at the very end, and I mean the very last words of the Old Testament. And if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to the book of Malachi. Or if you're Italian, you might say Malachi, right? Malachi. But that's not really the way it's pronounced. It's a Hebrew name, all right? These words were written by the prophet Malachi some 400 years before the birth of Jesus. And it's as though The Old Testament is signing off. Everything that's needed to be said has been said and written in the prophets, the other books of the Old Testament, and the Jews are left waiting in eager anticipation for their nation to be fully restored under the Messiah and for the golden age, the kingdom age, to begin. But they have no idea when or exactly how this will transpire. So here are the final directions to God's people as the Old Testament comes to a close. Malachi chapter 4, we begin at verse 5. And please help me when we come to the yellow print. God is speaking. He says, "Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." That's the word of the Lord. Sounds a bit like the story of Paco and his dad coming back together. The hearts of the fathers back to their children and the children back to their fathers. The Old Testament promises that before the Lord comes, Yahweh himself, the great and dreadful day of the Lord, as it's described here, Elijah the prophet will show up to bring about this reconciliation. As the Old Testament closes, this is the next item on the prophetic calendar. Now, fast forward from Malachi's time, 400 years, to the opening story of the New Testament. Malachi's prophecy is fulfilled through John the Baptist, a great prophet who indeed comes just before the Lord himself shows up, a prophet who dresses wild and woolly and preaches and lives like the rough and ready prophet Elijah. Let's look as the angel describes to the father of John the Baptist this man that will come. John the Baptist, see, he does look pretty wild and woolly, doesn't he? Let's look at the passage. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. "He will be a man," John the Baptist will be a man, "with the spirit and power of Elijah," a clear allusion to the passage we just read. "He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord." Help me out. "He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." How would reconciling fathers and children prepare for the Lord? Well, because this reconciliation is at the heart of Jesus' message and his atoning death for our sins. I witnessed this firsthand in my relationship with my dad. My dad had been raised in a Catholic home, a good home, but I knew him as I grew up as a boy. He was a skeptic. He was an agnostic. Whenever he went to church, if he did go to church, maybe on Easter, he'd bring along a book to read, and it wasn't the Bible. And that's how he chose to participate, if you will. He doubted God's existence, wasn't sure at all even that that was the case. But when I became a Christ follower as a teenager, I made it my goal to see my dad come to know the Jesus that I knew and that I loved. My mother and my other brothers, who had also become Christ followers, we were part of the effort together. We prayed for him constantly and regularly shared our faith with him, sometimes till the wee hours of the morning we'd be up discussing these things in long conversations. He was never antagonistic. In fact, he was actually glad that we, his sons, seem to be behaving so much better since we had become Jesus followers and we were reading. He was very much into reading. He was an English teacher, and we were reading the Bible, which he considered to be great literature. And so this had had a positive effect on him, and yet his unbelief remained unbudging. We wondered if he would ever come to know Jesus. But that all changed in the wake of a heart attack, which landed him in the hospital and prompted a reevaluation of his life and the claims of Jesus Christ. And it was in that hospital bed that he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ as Lord. And his newfound faith began immediately to transform his life radically. And with that transformation, it began to change our relationship. We gradually got closer. In fact, in the early years of my ministry, in which I started two churches and pastored two churches, not at the same time, but chronologically, one after another, he was with me every step of the way, supporting me, helping me in every way that he can. In fact, sometimes he was so supportive of me that it was embarrassing. At family gatherings, at that time it was cassette tapes, he'd be handing out cassette tapes of my messages to everybody. Dad, you know, I love it, I appreciate it, but you know, it's a little embarrassing. But he reveled in the fact that I was his pastor and he was a church member. I couldn't have asked for a more loyal encourager and faithful supporter. He was always brimming with joy and optimism. And as the Lord brought us together, the old resentment melted away. I was now his pastor, and he was so openly proud of me. And when my dad died in 1992, I counted it one of the great privileges of my life to officiate at his funeral service, even though it was tough. With each passing year, I miss him more and more, and I'm eager to be with him, to see him again someday in glory. Jesus brings fathers and children together. Now, yes, I know it can have, Jesus can have the opposite effect in families when either party opposes Christianity. I've seen that, a lot of that happen. But even then, a Christ follower is to make every effort to reconcile, to bring together, to make the relationship as good as it can be. If you have a great relationship with your dad, that's wonderful, terrific. May your love for Jesus increase your love for your dad. Likewise, if you're a father, may it increase toward your kids. But if there's tension, if there's distance, may you, as a Jesus-following son or daughter or father, be the one who reaches out with kindness and understanding and every legitimate effort to improve the relationship, to make it as good as it can be, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. But Malachi's prophecy extends far beyond reconciling fathers and kids. It extends to the ultimate reconciliation. Notice once again in that Luke chapter 1, verse 17 verse, he, talking about John the Baptist, will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Help me with this. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Ultimately, the issue is not just bringing people back together, but the deeper issue the deeper issue of bringing people back to God the Father. This is what Jesus Christ our Lord came to do. Talk about an alienation between father and children. The rift between us and God is the granddaddy rift of them all. God the Son came to reveal his Father and bring us together to the Father. When you become a Jesus follower, Jesus' first task is to bring you into relationship with the Father. It's the goal of your salvation. You may have never even really noticed this in a very famous verse, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Help me. "No one comes to the Father except through me." You get that? The destination, the goal, is the Father. That's where you're headed. That's why Jesus came. He is the way to the Father. All three members of the God family, we call it the Trinity, are involved in making you a child of the Father. God the Holy Spirit, he starts things by drawing you, giving you this interest, this hunger, this thirst to know God. You may see it just as something that you think, well, I'm more interested in God. I feel like I'm interested in spiritual things, but that's the Holy Spirit, you see. He's working. He's prompting you. He's giving you that yearning. And then Jesus, God the Son, he's the one who bridged the gap. He's the one who died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, so that you and the Father could be reunited. And it's Jesus who leads you with his nail-scarred hand into the presence of the Father, to introduce you to the Father. The whole purpose of your salvation is to reconcile you to the Father. That's Jesus' heart for you. Are you reconciled to the Father? Or are you still in the condition in which you were born, in alienation from the Father? Son, daughter, God the Father, just like that Spanish father looking for his son. He is searching. He has published good news, and he wants you to know it. This is what his news in essence says. Dear son or daughter, meet me at the cross. In Jesus, all is forgiven. I love you, the Father. That's his invitation to you. No need to fear. Just come. Just come. Just as fathers are sometimes forgotten in our culture, sometimes, believe it or not, we as Jesus followers forget God the Father. You say, how so? How could that ever happen? Well, we make everything about Jesus, and we forget God the Father. Consider just for a moment your prayers. Jesus told us, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus is speaking, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's how Jesus, God himself in human flesh, God the Son, instructs us to pray directly to the Father. Now, you would think if we follow Jesus, we would pray the way he tells us to pray. Doesn't that make sense? Well, here he says, pray our Father. Can you say it with me? Our Father. Yeah, that wasn't too hard. our Father. Talk to him. You say, yeah, but I like to pray to Jesus. Isn't it okay to say, Lord Jesus? Well, yes, of course it's okay. In fact, we see Christians doing this in the New Testament, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. But don't neglect the Father. Picture yourself entering the Father's house, all right? Picture a house. It's the Father's house. The Holy Spirit has led you to the Father's house. He's prompted you. He's given you that desire. He's the GPS in you, just, you know, giving you the way there. And then when you stand on the doorstep, guess who greets you at the door? Why, it's Jesus, the Son. And he welcomes you in, and he takes you with his nail-scarred hand into the room where there the Father is waiting to meet with you, the goal, the destination. Now, let's say you sit down and the three of you are there and you begin just talking to Jesus. The Father's over here and you're just kind of conversing with Jesus. Wouldn't that be a little bit rude to just leave the Father out of the conversation? I mean, after all, Jesus led you there to talk to the Father. You can talk to the Son too, he's right there with you, but talk to the Father. You say, yeah, but it just doesn't feel natural to me to talk to the Father. It feels too formal to say Father. Well, if this is an issue for you, I have a solution. Actually, it's the New Testament that has a solution for you. Here's the solution. Allow the Spirit of Jesus to pray through you. Look at it. I want you to see this. This is a great verse. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, and because we are his children, children of the Father, God the Father has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, help me, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. I love this passage. Abba. You say, what's that? Is that a pop group from the 1970s? Well, it's been called that, but Abba is actually the word Jesus himself used. It's an Aramaic word. That's how Jesus used to pray. That's how he taught us to pray. It's a very intimate word that in English means dear father or papa. You say daddy? Well, usually in our parlance today, daddy is a little less formal than this word would be in Jesus' day. This has great reverence, but also it's unique. It has great tenderness and intimacy. Paul says, the Spirit of Jesus in your heart prompts you to cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, the Spirit of Jesus is cueing you. He's prompting you. He's putting the words into your mouth, what to pray. So allow Jesus' Spirit to pray through you. Just think. When you cry out Father to God, the Spirit of Jesus is actually praying through you. And so, when you pray, don't forget the Father. Pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. All three are involved. Now, we're going to close up the message here in a moment and transition into sharing the Lord's Supper together. But I just want to close up with a couple of a few applications. What to do? If you're not close with your dad, take the initiative to forgive if there's any issue, and or, as the case may be, to show kindness. If you're a dad who's not close with your kids, you take the initiative. If you're alienated from the Father, come to Him. Come to Him. The Son reaches out to you with His nail-scarred hand, inviting you to come and entrust yourself to Him as Lord and Savior, and He will take you in to the Father. Next, pay attention to whom you're speaking when you pray. This is good New Testament theology here we're learning today. Just pay attention. And next, if you're not in the habit of praying in the Spirit of the Son to the Father, well, why not start now? In fact, let's start this very moment. Will you stand with me and pray? As soon as we're done praying, Chris is going to come and lead us in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Father, Abba, thank you, Lord, that we can approach you as your children. We can come to you, Father, through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and talk directly to you. Thank you. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you that you made this possible through the death of your Son for our sins and His resurrection. Thank you, Lord. As we give thanks to you today in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, may we remember that great sacrifice. Lord, help us who are fathers to do everything in our power to make the relationship with our kids the best it can be. Whatever the status is now, the best it can be. Lord, all of us are our kids. Help us in our relationships with our fathers, Lord. Some of us, our fathers have passed on. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to still honor them in the way we share memories about them. And Lord, if there's a rift, help us to be those that take the initiative to restore. And Lord, I pray for any and every person here today who doesn't know the Father through the Son, that person right now would say, Lord, I want to be reconciled. I repent of my sin, and I turn my life over. I surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the one who died for me and rose from the dead. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.